The Torah tells us in this week's parsha that Avram was Zaken Ba Bayamim, Vashem Berach is Avram Bakol. So Avram turns to his Eved, Zakan Beso, Hamoshe Bechol Sherlo. He turns to his trusted servant Eliezer, and he says, make me a promise. Promise me, Ashalotikach Isha Libni Mibnos HaKinani, promise me that you're not going to take a wife from the daughters of Kinan. Ki el artzi ve'el moladeti telech. Rather, go to my land and go to my birthplace. There you shall go, and there you shall take a wife for my son Yitzchak. Now, these words are eerily, it's eerie how similar they are to the Tzivoy, the first commandment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had given Avram. After all, the Torah tells us in Parshas Lech Lecha, the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, Hashem speaks to Avram, and Hashem says, Lech Lecha el Arzecha, u'mimoladetecha mibeis avicha el Arzecha Areka. Go for you from your homeland and from your birthplace and the house of your father to a land that I will show you. Similar. So now Avram comes and tells Eliezer, go to my land and go to my birthplace. But there's a glaring omission. He doesn't say to go to Beis Avicha, go to the house of my father. And ultimately, Rivka is from the Beis Avicha. So why is it when he's given the tzivoy, when he's giving the command to Eliezer, it seems to be that he's mimicking two out of three lashonos, two out of three expressions to Eliezer to convey the idea of where he wants him to go. Maybe you'll say he didn't know. I find it very hard to believe that Avraham Avinu did not have an idea that ultimately it would be from Beis Avicha that would ultimately be the wife of Yitzchak Avinu. And if that indeed is the case, then why didn't he say, Ki el artzi ve'el moladati ve'el Beis Avi teilech, go to the house of my father, and you shall take an isha libni Yitzchak. He doesn't mention it. And perhaps because he didn't mention it, Eliezer was confused. How am I going to figure it out? Now, ultimately, he came up with an equation. But until that point, it would have been so much easier if he would have come and said, El Arzi ve'el Moladati ve'el Beis Avi Telech. Why didn't he come and say, El Beis Avi, just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told him, El Beis Avi? That's our first question for tonight. Our second question for tonight is, we know, as we just mentioned, that Avraham Avinu entrusted his loyal, trusted Eved to act as an emissary, a shliach, to marry Yitzchak. Though we know that Avraham Avinu was Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula, he kept the entire Torah. And if indeed he kept the entire Torah, wouldn't he not have known that it is asur, it is forbidden, to marry a young lady with a shliach, with an emissary? So then why did he ask Eliezer to come and be a shliach? The Gemara tells us in Maseches Kedushin, in the second parak, that there's an iser involved. It's forbidden to marry with a shliach, lest the shliach brings home a young lady and the husband isn't attracted to her. So what's going to happen? He's going to act in an unbecoming way to his wife. And now he's going to be over the Isser or over the Aseh of Ahavta L'Recha Kamocha. So why would he have designated a Shliach? If anything, it could have been arranged that someone would be brought to Yitzchak. And that's how he would find his wife. But instead, Avram designated a Shliach, perhaps even against the words of the Gemara. And that's our second question. And our third and final question is in the aftermath of Sarah Imenu's death. The Torah tells us that Sarah dies in Kiryas Arba, which is Hebron. Avram comes, Lispo, Lisarv, Livkosa. Avram comes up, Me'al Pnei Meso, and he speaks to the children of Ches, Lemor, saying, Ger v'toshav anochi imachem. I am a ger, I'm an alien, and I'm a toshav, I'm a resident among you. Tenu le'achuzas kever imachem. Grant for me, give to me, achuzas kever. A kever among you. Ve'akberam asim ilfanai, and I'll bury the dead before me. Vayanu b'nei ches es Avram le'mar lo. And the children of ches, the b'nei ches, answered Avram saying, Shema'eni Adoni, hear us, Adoni, my master. Nisi Elokim atah b'sochenu, you're a prince of Hashem in our midst. B'mchar kvarenu, it's the choicest of all the burial praises, to kvores meisecha, to bury your dead. Vayakam, so lo yichle mimcha mikvor meisecha. Any of us will not withhold his burial place from you, from burying your dead. Vayakam Avram vayishtachu la'am ha'aretz ubnei ches. Then Avram rose up and he bowed down to the children of Ches. Vayidaber itam lemor, and he spoke to them saying, if indeed it is truly your will that I should be able to bury my dead from before me, come, hear me, and speak to Ephron ben Sochar. Let him come and give me Ma'aras HaMachpelah. And ultimately, Ephron was sitting Besoch ben Eches. Vayan Ephron achiti es Avram be'ozne ben Eches. And again, Ephron responded to Avram. And obviously, there was a dialogue between Avram and Ephron. But the Briskerov asks a very insightful question. Why did Avram come and bow down to Bnei Ches? To bow down to an Am Ha'aretz or to Am Aratzim for no reason could be calamitous. We know when Yaakov bowed down to Esav, ultimately he was punished. And therefore, I understand if the Bnei Ches are part of this process. But are they really? Didn't it belong to Ephron? The B'nai Ches themselves said that it belongs to Ephron. Then why would Avram go out of his way to speak to them, to engage them, to give them honor and kavod, to bow down to them? I understand bowing down, lefnei Am Ha'aretz, to bow down before Ephron. But the B'nai Ches, is that really necessary? Avram Avinu was clearly, he was a very pious man. He was an Ish Chesed. He had spent his entire life trying to understand and recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He loved Hashem. He thought about Hashem. He came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on his own. He was able to recognize that this entire world belonged to Hashem. He was a godlike person. He was a spiritual being. But don't think for a moment that Avram Avinu was not in tune to this world. Don't think for a moment that Avram Avinu didn't understand the way of the world. I would even suggest that Avraham Avinu was perhaps the greatest of the psychologists, understanding people, intuitive to situations. And based upon every situation, he acted accordingly. We saw that in the previous parshios. He saw that in dealing with the malachim, he engaged them in a way that showed that he was a force to be reckoned with. And when he was traveling and he would encounter Paro, he tells his wife a strategic move, tell them, you're my sister. And now when Avraham Avinu is coming to Ephron to inquire about the Maharas HaMachpelah, he understood that for him to be matzliach, for him to be successful, he needs to curry favor with Bnei Ches. As the Briskerov says, Kasher Tzrichim Lifol Mashu, he needed action. V'yesh Chashash Yonashim Misuyamim Yamdu Mineged, he was concerned that there would be people that would stare, that would disrupt this potential acquisition. Ha'etza Hatova B'yoserhi La'afoch Anashim Elu L'shtadlonim B'inyon. His idea was, says the Brisker Rav, that for these people to support him in his quest to acquire Maharas HaMachpelah, he needs to make them a Baal Dover. He needs to give them a job as if they themselves have a chelik, have a part in this whole process. When people feel engaged, when people feel connected, they're going to work harder to ensure success. Avraham Avinu tapped into the insecurities of Bnei Ches. He knew that to be successful in trying to persuade Ephron to sell him this land, Bnei Ches had to have been shtadlonim b'inyan. They had to be a part of the process. They would also want b'hatzlochas ha'inyan. They would also ensure the success of this idea of Yifalu Aburo and work on his behalf. And that is exactly why, says the Brisker Rav, if I take away their nonchalance or I take away their agendas, and I make their agenda my agenda, then I will have a greater success to ensure that Maharas HaMachpelah will be the eternal resting place of the Avos and the Imahos. That was the godless of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was in tune to the feelings and the hergish. He was able to sense situations and ideas. And that, I believe, is why he sent Eliezer to find a wife for Yitzchak. Because Chazal teach us that Eliezer had a daughter. And he would always try to pester, perhaps. He'd always try to come to Avram and look for a seam, an opportunity, a hole, to plead his case. And Avram was very close to Eliezer. He was this kambeso, umosha b'chol shelo, everything, all of his wealth and his vast fortune and his entire empire, it all belonged to Eliezer. He was in control. Avram didn't involve himself with any of that. When Avram wanted to be mekayim the mitzvah achnasas orchim, what did he do? He sent that Eliezer. Go, find me orchim. He knew that if perhaps he comes enough times, Avram knew if Eliezer comes enough times and seduces me and comes and shepherds me about his daughter, just maybe I would succumb to his cheshbon, to his calculation. I would maybe say, you know what? She can't be so bad. She's, after all, the daughter of Eliezer. But Avram knew that wasn't in the works. That wasn't what was Klal Yisrael's destiny. And therefore, he thought to himself, if I make Eliezer a shtadlan, someone who was a part of the process of finding Yitzchak a wife, then he wouldn't come and ask me about his daughter any longer. He would no longer come with his own interest, his own agenda, but rather he would join along on this journey looking for the successful shidduch, the ultimate shidduch of Yitzchak. Avraham Avinu was so in tune to the ground, wasn't in the sky, lofty, not being able to relate to people. Yes, he was a man who saw and found God the first, but he was also someone who was in tune to the psychology of man, understood people very, very well, and knew what was necessary to further the cause of Hashem in this world. And if it meant to come and engage B'nai Ches to ensure the successful acquisition of Ma'aras HaMachpelah as the eternal resting place of Avos and Imos, then so be it. And if it meant coming and engaging Eliezer on this mission, even though there might be a possible Isur involved. But Avraham Avinu understood that Jewish destiny is predicated on whom Yitzchak will marry. And therefore, he thought, so I don't succumb to the advances, to the pressure of Eliezer, who is the Sekan Beso, Moshe B'chasher Lo. I'm going to make him a part of the process, that now he'll go and be on board to find the best possible shidduch for our Yitzchak Avinu. And that is perhaps how we're also able to understand why it is that he didn't mention, why he didn't discuss when he came to Eliezer and he said, go and bring someone back from my moladati, my artsi, but he didn't mention Beis Avi. It's because he was so in tune to people and their hergish, their feelings. You see, when Avraham Avinu left the house of his father, he wasn't thinking as a parent. He was thinking as someone who found HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Perhaps what so many of us do when we go off to Eretz Yisrael or to study, and we're focused on our own growth without taking into consideration whatever is going on around us. And Avraham Avinu needed to do that. He was commanded by God. But now, all these years later, he himself, he is not in the same situation. He's now a father. And a father looks at a situation differently than a child does. You see, a child, he leaves home. Sometimes even a child can forget about a parent. But a parent never, ever forgets about a child. A parent always has the interest of a child in mind and can now identify with other parents who themselves have children. So now Avraham Avinu is sending Eliezer and says, Eliezer, go find a wife for my son. See, but this son can't leave. He can't go live in my homeland, in the place that I was born. He has to stay here, which means that any girl you're bringing back, she's going to be leaving the house of her father. Avraham Avinu understood that she was going to have to leave, but he was sensitive to the idea that if we're to bring a girl, mibeis avi, from the house of my father, from someone's daughter is going to be leaving. It's not just a generic statement of molatati artzi, but it's more personal. Beis avi. I don't want to come and suggest that. I don't want to come and mention that this is from the house of my father, because I knew what it meant to leave a house. Yes, Terach came and brought Avram to Nimrod. But at the end of the day, a father is forever a father to a child. Avram was sensitive to that, and therefore he wanted to desensitize. He didn't want to make it personal. Beis Avi, from the house of my father, because it's the house of my father, but she's also from the house of her father. And that was something that Avraham Avinu didn't want to bring up as being part of that shlichut, part of that mission. Avraham Avinu was so in tune to people, so insightful, was able to daher, to internalize people and situations, was able to focus ba'asher husham, what every person needed at any given time. That was the godless. That was the greatness of Avraham Avinu. So we asked our three questions. Question number one, why did he give such kavod?